Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
What would be the best advertising partner? The Jim Boylan Ridiculous Timeout is brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Want to get away? And Troy says it should be Kit Kat. Give me a break. I love that. That sounds perfect. 978 Texer, because a diamond is forever, just like the ending to this game. Jim Boylan's unnecessary timeouts are sponsored by Hotels.com and brought to you by Captain Obvious. This timeout's brought to you by Home Depot. More saving, less doing. Axe body spray. When your team stinks and your coach needs the axe.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
We had a lot of fun with that. And I guess Brian Gertz in the video department here at The Score clipped that off and put it on The Score's Twitter account. And the suggestions for a sponsor for the Jim Boylan Ridiculous Timeout continue on Twitter, and it was very, very good. Yes, Campy?
We've actually been slighting Jim Boylan a little bit that we did not present the counter argument to this.
Which is?
At least he didn't run out of timeouts.
This time.
Yeah.
I mean, because it has happened before.
Right, but the last, what, 3, 4, or 5 times, it's been taking the extra time out, not running out of them.
Okay, I mean,
so does that count as progress?
Sure, baby steps. Let's use it as baby steps, even though he's annoying the entire league. But I was very impressed with your creativity yesterday. I thank you for that creativity. Keep that type of creativity coming when you are texting into this show on the Tech Zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. We have a lot of fun stuff ahead for you today. Our buddy Chris Herring, who covers the NBA for 538 and ESPN, is going to be in here at 1 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Bulls and the All-Star game. Campy, I was up late last night, man, watching Lakers Nuggets. That was a lot of fun.
Two of the five best teams in the league. Good stuff.
It was. It was really, really good stuff. But we start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here's your rundown for Thursday, February 13th, 2020. In Major League Baseball, the owner of the Houston Astros had a hard time separating truth, even though that truth was just a few seconds ago.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Yeah, you did. That's what you just said. Herbie, can you play the front part of that again just so that Jim knows that that's what he said? Because it's what he said, like right before that question was asked.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game.
Yeah. Okay. That's what you said. Here's what Alex Bregman had to say about the cheating.
I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans.
No, shut up.
Leave Ronji out of it. I would have, it's whatever. Here's Jose Altuve.
The whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball.
I think that Altuve was a little bit better at emoting than Bregman was. Bregman felt like, I'm just gonna read this and then I'm gonna get out of here. Nothing. You know what it is, to use another Chappelle-ism? It's the dumping the pitcher of water and running out the room. Here's the apology. All right, gotta go. That's what it is for them. Moving right along, So it's getting late and dark for the Blackhawks right now.
Now Myers pinching in. Brandon Sutter couldn't pick it up. Taves did. Kajula knocked down just as the puck got there. A takeaway by the Canucks. Ben put it to the middle. Here's a centering pass. Open net and a tap in for Gaudette. Well, the Hawks were heading out of the zone. Kajula got run over. Ben the hit and the takeaway. And it's a 2-0 Canuck lead.
Yeah. Blackhawks are 0-3-2 in their last five. Markstrom with 49 saves. You knew. Was I the only one that when they saw them celebrating the Sedins, immediately thought that the Blackhawks are going to lose?
Every time I see the Sedins, and I told this to Jay, is if you ever seen the movie Just One of the Guys, in that movie there's two guys who are kind of alien-like. And then they have to pick teams in the gym, and they have to be separated. And they make some sound like, I can't go away from my friend. That's what I think about the Sedins. They had to be picked by the Vancouver Canucks. They had to play together, and they had to retire together. And Jay just showed me this meme.
Of them on the bench doing the exact same thing at the same time with their gloves and their water bottle.
Yes, I hate those guys. Even though I'm not a Blackhawks fan, there's what the hell?
It is a little bizarre. But as soon as I saw those guys in suits, and I was like, oh, no, this is going to end up bad for the Blackhawks. And it did, and now they're 0-3-2 in their last five, and their playoff hopes are dwindling, absolutely dwindling. The Bulls, on the other hand, they're on a break because the All-Star game is coming up. Kendrick Perkins told Mully and Haw why people don't want to go to war for Jim Boylan.
Those timeouts are getting out of control. And to me, that's just an ego thing and a pride thing, and it's all about Jim. And it's not how it should be. He's just trying to make a statement of just how he's going to run things. And that's all good if you was winning and you're at the top of the East. But if you're down at the bottom of the bottom and, you know, you're just barely scratching the playoff surface and guys are already complaining for you, you know, people, as a player, you don't want to go to war with a coach like that. That makes you hate him. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the thing is that you want guys to buy into what you believe in. And the way he's going about it is just a recipe for disaster.
It does seem that way. That's a guy who played for a long time talking about how Jim Boylan is perceived. If you'd like to go see a couple of guys that played for a long time talk about this and other NBA issues, if you're caller six to the Scores contest line right now, which is 312-591-6700, we will hook you up with a pair of passes to attend a live taping of the All the Smoke podcast tomorrow, hosted by Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. The taping will feature interviews with Kevin Garnett, as well as the homecoming of one Derrick Rose. So listen to the latest episodes on YouTube or on the radio.com app. How about we talk about the Cubs? Because the Cubs are now ready to go. Pitchers and catchers there. A lot of the position players are there as well down in Mesa. Kyle Schwarber said this about 2020.
We all expect a lot more of ourselves than what's happened the last couple of years. And like I said, that's where you take it in from a learning experience. And you put that forward going into this upcoming season. And knowing that, you know, we got to do things better. And you know, I don't think it's a secret that we got to do things better.
You know, Kyle Schwarber in the second half of the season wasn't just good. He was great. I was talking on STL about this last night. Like, he started off really slow, and he was a little bit above average player in the first half of the season. In the second half of the season, here's a slash line on Kyle Schwarber. 280, 366, 631. He slugged 631. In the second half of the season last year for an OPS of 997. So to put that into context, an average player is around 760 in OPS. He was 997. Those numbers are incredible. 20 home runs, 49 RBIs for him. It's funny because I do this myself. I sometimes leave him out when I'm discussing the Cubs. I go Rizzo, Baez, Contreras, Bryant. But the second half of the season that Schwarber had last year was absolutely monstrous. And that is your rundown for Thursday, February 13th, 2020. So yesterday on the show, we talked a lot about the Cubs, and they had had their State of the Union address about the team and the franchise with Theo Epstein yesterday. Well, 2 days ago. Yesterday, out in Glendale, the White Sox did the same thing. So we're going to give them a similar treatment. So when we come back, you're going to hear from the particulars out there in Glendale, including Rick Hahn telling you about the guys that are already injured for the White Sox. We will discuss that next here on The Score. So the White Sox are opened up camp now. They're ready to go. Pitchers and catchers are made their way out to Glendale. And now we're all trying to figure out what is what. What's crazy is like how exciting it is to have a team that you feel like did work in the offseason. And then what all of those things mean when you're getting ready for the season. I've been talking about over the last few weeks how I was trying to change my season ticket package. And I think that I finally figured out how I want to do it. That I knew that I've been a season ticket holder for the last, what, three seasons? And I love my seats in 531. I love it, but it's probably too many games. And as I was talking with Mitch about this, and he's like, yeah, you end up becoming a ticket donation place. Right, which I like because I like to give my tickets away to listeners of people that don't go to games. And in some cases, I can write stuff off. It's not that big a deal. But this year with the White Sox expecting to be good, I wanted to change up the flow and I wanted to change my going to game experience. So I think I've come up with a plan to do that. But all that happens because you expect the team to be good. And like looking at the Sox schedule on the road, like there's a road trip that I'm thinking about taking, some of the places that they're going this year. But all of that happens when you're excited about where a team is at in their horizon to get good. They've made a lot of changes. So as a fan base, you're kind of committed to helping out and saying, okay, I'm going to do my part as a fan and I'm going to go to a couple more games than maybe I should, or maybe I'll go to that road trip in Kansas City and go by the Negro Leagues Museum while I'm there. I'm thinking about San Francisco. That's what I'm thinking. That might be good.
Danny and I have already booked our trip, so come on through.
Yeah, I think it might work out. I think it might work out.
Or if you just don't like the San Francisco part, they're continuing on to San Diego that same weekend to play, I think, Monday through Thursday, and then the Padres play the Cubs that same week.
Well, I haven't seen the ballpark in San Francisco. And so Mel has been saying, look, I have Pittsburgh number one, but she's like, you haven't been to San Francisco, so you need to do that. So I'm thinking that might give me good reason to go out there and see that ballpark. So then it's, all right, they're in spring training. Let's go. Let's pitchers and catchers reporting. Let's see what the White Sox are all about. Their first game will be next Saturday. I'm going to be at that game in Glendale. I am looking forward to that. It's always them, the Dodgers, that open up, right? Isn't it? Because they're in the same complex, so no one has to go anyplace. So they open up yesterday. What everything that Rick Hahn says at the end of this is fine and it makes you feel better. But the beginning of this is terrifying for a White Sox fan base that is buying into the 2020 season.
Before you start tweeting this, hear that everyone is going to be fine, we anticipate, by opening day.
Oh, no!
But we are dealing with three minor issues right now that are slowing down a few guys. First, Yasmani Grandal last week about 10 days ago, was working out in the weight room. Felt a small tweak in his calf. He was examined, got an MRI. It's a mild calf strain that, quite frankly, if this was during a regular season, we may well push through with normal usage, but since we have all this time on our hands, we're going to take a slower route with him, and he likely won't appear in Cactus League games for about the first week. Again, everyone I'm talking about, we expect to be fully able by opening day.
Which leg for that?
One of the two. I believe the left. It's better than 50-50 it's the left, but I can't promise you it's the left. You saw him out there today, in fact, catching sidelines if you were watching, but he is going to be a little slower. Lucas Giolito, as you know, missed Sox Fest due to the flu. It was a fairly bad case, got him fairly dehydrated and set behind his program a little bit as well. When he ramped back up, he felt some soreness in his rib cage area. He was examined and found to have a very mild, we'll call it a chest muscle strain in the rib cage area. If you saw today, he was out there throwing. He's just a little bit behind everybody else, and he too likely won't participate in games the first week of the Cactus League. But again, we expect to have him fully able by opening day. Lastly, Gio Gonzalez, when he was at home about two and a half weeks ago and doing his throwing program, felt a little discomfort in his shoulder, so we slowed him down, got him treated up. He showed up here feeling great, but again, due to the missed time, he's a little bit behind as well. Likely also won't participate in the first week of spring games, but we, again, anticipate him being ready to go when the bell rings come the end of March.
Okay. That's not great where your GM has to be like, look, guys, we got some injuries. With Lucas and with Grandal, you go, all right, that's okay, that's fine. Grandal's actually still doing stuff. It just seems like a guy that doesn't want to be out there running, which I get that. The Gonzalez thing, though, I'm always uncomfortable when you're talking about a pitcher who's got some shoulder stuff. And when you're talking about a pitcher who's got shoulder stuff in February, that's not great, Bob. Yes, Herbie?
I just remember, he's a lefty. I remember the White Sox not really being worried about John Degg's shoulder and not really worried about Carlos Rodon's shoulder. So I always go back to those things and say, you know what, maybe we got a problem here. We need to ramp up and get a reliever or a starter ready instead of Kopech, because they're not going to rush him. Go and get another guy that can spell Gio Gonzalez.
G-I-O. G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z. Gio Gonzalez.
I got to say Giovanni.
Oh.
Because one of the reporters actually said, so what's wrong with Gio? He's like, which one are you talking about?
Yeah, see, we called this. That we needed to call Lucas and Gio. They both can't be Gio. And I think that since Giolito was up for the Cy Young last year, he gets to be Lucas. And Gio is just Gio, all right? So let's just do that. You heard Herbie talking about Kopech. It's probable that Kopech starts the season in the minors because they want to be careful with, I'm sure, with making it so that he doesn't drive himself crazy by overworking that arm early on to try to prove a point. So it's probable that he's going to start the season in the minor leagues because he's going to be on an innings limit. So that's kind of where things stand. It's not horrific. It's not completely deflating, but it was kind of a like, oh no, when Rick started things up. But then people around the White Sox were talking in a very excited manner about the 2020 season. It's part of the thing that I want to talk with you about. We do this every year, and I want to admit the media's part in this. I'm a big fan of holding people to their own standards. You tell me you're a playoff team, I tell you, okay, that's how we're going to work. We're going to work with you being a playoff team. If those answers come naturally, I'm comfortable with them. But sometimes we, media, will ask questions that don't really give the respondent an opportunity to say anything else. But, and I don't think that people are just doing that on purpose. Like, I don't think they're just trying to catch people up in a trick bag. But there's a lot here. When we start talking about the expectations of the 2020 White Sox, It's cool to be excited, and I think as fans, we should be super excited about things because for the most part, the front office did what they were supposed to do. They had a lot of holes, and they plugged those holes. That leads us to Ricky Renteria, the manager of the White Sox. Here's what he's saying about expectation levels for the 2020 White Sox.
You want me to tell you no? I'd be lying to you if I said I'm okay with it. No, I'm not okay with it. We want to play to win. We want to play to put ourselves in a position to have a chance to get to the dance. And again, that's what it's about. Ultimately, you know, nobody's going to – if people think I'm scared to say that, yeah, you're looking at the wrong guy. This is what it's about. Everybody knows what our lot is, what it's about. Everybody's going to be judged about what happens or doesn't happen. Fine. Go. My job is to be in there with those guys and get them ready as best I possibly can to put them in a position to have success. And, you know, we're not going to go out there and play teams and they're just going to lay down. No, everybody's trying to beat you. So, and if anybody thinks that winning a major league ball game on a daily basis is an easy thing to do, that's a lie as well. It's very hard to win a major league ball game on a daily basis. But we have a 162-game schedule in which you got to have confidence, solid routine, solid approaches, and you play the game even keeled and you run that marathon. And you stay excited and ready to survive the lulls. Mm-hmm. Everybody can, you know, deal with successes. It's surviving the lulls that occur during the course of a season, 162 games. I've got to make sure that they understand that those are going to happen, but we just keep chugging along.
The lulls part is very important to me. So obviously he has an idea of what the expectations should be for his team, and I get it. When spring happens, when August happens in the NFL, when October happens in the NBA and NHL, everyone thinks that they can win the championship. A lot of times you get punched in the mouth pretty quick in the NFL and then you realize, oh, this might be real difficult for us to win a championship. It's a little slower burn in hockey and basketball, although the Bulls got that out of the way in the first 10 games of the season. The Blackhawks are taking their time. They're waiting until the end of February to just be like, ah, we're out. But with baseball, you want to set those expectations, and it's going to be interesting to see how the White Sox handle this, how the players handle expectation. There hasn't been this before. The ballparks are going to be fuller. They're going to be playing in bigger crowds because a lot of White Sox fans have bought in to what the rebuild was before we got to this point. The players that were already on the roster, seeing Tim Anderson win a batting title last year, seeing Lucas Giolito be the best pitcher in the first half of the season, seeing Aloy hit bombs against the Yankees. You've bought into those guys. Seeing Moncada turn into a 5-war player and get MVP votes last year. And then they said, well, we're going to do this. We're going to sign Robert. We're going to get him on the team. We're going to go outside and get Grandal. We're going to upgrade from James McCann, who was pretty good for the White Sox last year. We're going to get Edwin Encarnacion. We're going to add some thunder to the middle of that lineup. And now fans are rubbing their hands like Birdman. Ready to go out to the ballpark. I'm taking a trip out to Arizona. I want to go see it up close. You might be doing the same thing. But now that there's pressure, the White Sox last year, they stumbled at the beginning of the second half of the season. When they stumble like, if they stumble like that this year, the reaction is going to be harsh. Are they ready for it? And are they also ready for the flip side of this? Success is a mofo, man. You gotta be ready for that part of it too.
Ricky says he's good. He feels no pressure.
Ricky should feel the most pressure.
Pressure is someone who wants to feed his family, can't get a job, someone who's dealing with, you know, unfortunately an illness. That's pressure. The pressure I have, gosh, I have more guys that I can use in the lineup. More guys that I can, you know, I can make two or three different, you know, lineups on a given day. We have more relief corps. We have a few more starters. No, that's not pressure. That's actually thank you, you know. And at the end of the day, we know that the players have to perform, but we're in a much better place now than we've been in a while.
I got some bad news for Ricky. that's not the pressure that he's under. And the pressure is relative. And you can get into real trouble comparing some of this stuff to real life. Here's the pressure that you're under. Since you don't have a grasp of it, allow me to spell it out for you. Because Rick Hahn has gone out and given you all of these things, more guys than you can put into the lineup, because you have a young core of guys that are ready to take the next step, or at least theoretically ready to take the next step in their development. You want to know what the pressure on you is, Ricky? That if they don't take that step in development, that if the White Sox don't win games, especially early on in the season next year, you know who they're going to point at? You. It won't be Rick. Rick can put his feet up right now. Like, what else you want me to do? I gave you all of this. Now you go win with it. And the thing is that Ricky's never done that at this level. So I hope that he has the same sunny attitude if the White Sox go on a 6-game losing streak in May. Because the pressure that he will feel will be abundant. And it will be justified. Because I think of all the things about the 2020 White Sox, the one thing that I'm least sure about is the manager. Hope you're ready for that pressure, Ricky, because it's coming. I hope you win, but if you don't, there's going to be a lot of people that have something to say about it, and I'll be one of them. More on expectations on the White Sox coming up after this on The Score.
The coaches and the players, everyone in uniform being focused on it's time, this year, let's go. That's fantastic. That's great. That's where you want their mindset in. You know, Ricky and the coaches previously, even with teams that weren't quite ready to win, you know, had that focus of let's do everything we can to win tonight. How are we going to win tonight's game? And then we'll figure out tomorrow the next day. It's more in the front office. It's more on us to try to take sort of that 30,000 foot view and where's this thing headed, and is everything moving the right direction? Are we on the right? What's the real time frame here?
So you just gonna play all Southside stuff today for White Sox? All right, I'm okay with that. That's Rick Hahn talking about Ricky Renteria, the 2020 Sox season. A texter in the Tech Zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Says, Lauren, stop. Stop harshing my mellow, man, when it comes to you reminding me about Ricky. And this one guy is out here, like, I don't know if it's Ricky's cousin or whatever, but he says, I see you're no fan of Ricky just because he hasn't been a championship coach. Well, he's a manager. Remember that he got the shaft of the north side? And you remember why he got the shaft on the north side? Because there is a better option for a team that was ready to win. And now the White Sox have a team that's ready to win. I'm not sure what Ricky has done. I get if you don't want to get rid of Ricky, because I'm not saying that. But I'm not sure what he's done to make you go, yeah, he deserves to be protected at all costs. Because I still see a manager that bunts way too frequently with an American League roster and often bunts early in games. Now, he hasn't had the best things to have as far as managerial and pitching changes go. And now he's going to be tested. That's all I'm saying, that the pressure's on the manager now. That's the part of the equation that the White Sox will have a better handle of in the 2020 season. I'm not hoping he gets fired. I'm hoping that they win. But there's already been some evidence on the way that he manages games. There's parts of the way that he manages games that I don't like. And I'm not alone in that. I'm not out here in the wilderness trying to tell you something that you don't know. If you watch White Sox baseball on any regular basis, there's stuff that Ricky does. You go, why is he doing that? In an American League game, in an American League park. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single-game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. But let's get back to how the White Sox feel very optimistic about the upcoming season. And that's good. Lucas Giolito talked with Chuck Garfine. The White Sox Talk podcast, really, really great time to do it. I know that Chuck and the crew are already down in Arizona. So if you're looking for a good Sox podcast, you can try that one. Also, the Locked On Sox podcast with our guy Herb Lawrence. Excellent.
And Chris Tannehill now.
He's now on the show?
Officially.
Baby. That is some White Sox power right there.
The only thing that you do is listen to the open. You'll be 100% satisfied. Then to turn the podcast off after that because I'm going to be cussing.
Okay, that's good, though.
Oh, it's really good. I'm giving you great opinions, and Tannehill gives you better opinions. But the open is worth you staying for.
Because Chris Tannehill produced it.
Damn straight.
Yeah, he's the best in the business. There's no doubt about that. Here's what Lucas Giolito said about making a jump, because you are talking about a team that won 72 games, and now if you're projecting them as a playoff team, then you're thinking, you know, mid to high 80s. How do you make that jump?
I think it's very realistic because of the fact that, you know, the young guys, we've been growing and learning for a few years now to the point where, okay, we're ready to put it together. And now we have a bunch of more help thanks to the acquisitions this offseason. You know, for us, it's just about everyone buying in, being on the same page with the direction that we're going. And yeah, just playing consistent baseball. I think that's what has been missing the past few years, just that consistency. Obviously the talent's there, but just the coming to the field every day saying we're going to win this ball game, and like knowing that, you know, just having that confidence.
That's good to hear, that you take a step as a franchise and you say, we don't have to worry about playing the role anymore. We don't have to play the role. We can now walk into games feeling like we're going to win instead of that whole jump of hope. It's now we feel better about who it is we are, who's backing up all of these things, and that's a cool thing to be. I really hope that Lucas is closer to the pitcher that we saw last year versus the pitcher that we saw in 2018. And apparently, I read this from James Fagan. Fagan, because it was O'Fagan, and then anyway, the great White Sox writer who covers the White Sox for The Athletic, that apparently Reynaldo Lopez changed agencies, and Lopez put himself on a program that was similar to Giolito's in working out this year.
But is he in the best shape of his life?
Yes, they all are. I haven't heard that yet. I'm honestly surprised, and maybe now everyone is hip to it. Whether it's Cubs or White Sox, I haven't heard the obligatory, I came into camp in the best shape of my life. I always think it's funny when people in management do it. Like, I'm looking forward to Ricky, Rick, or Rossi doing that. Well, this guy, Schwarbs came into camp in the best shape of his life. Chris Bryant, best shape of his life. Hopefully it works out for everyone. All right, one more on this, and it's from James McCann. James McCann was more plain. While Lucas is talking theoretical and kind of in the abstract on how expectations can help the White Sox in the 2020 season, McCann is more plain about it.
It's definitely a different field, different dynamics, just from different guys in the clubhouse, but also with obviously different expectations.
What are those expectations, you think?
If I said we weren't trying to win a World Series, then I'd be lying. That's, you go into every season with expectation to win, and this season is obviously no different, but there's a little more, in regards to, the moves that were made in the offseason. It's win now, and it's not just get to the playoffs, it's win a World Series.
Okay. And it's... That's the part that scares me. We don't have to keep upping the ante. We can talk about a solid season for the White Sox and them improving from 72 wins last season. But then it immediately goes to, well, yeah, we think that we're going to win the playoffs. Okay. Okay, great. And now it's, yeah, we think we're going to win the World Series. Oh! Oh! Don't do that to me! We don't have to keep going. Like, the next cut will be, of course we're going to be a dynasty for the next 5 years. Of course we're going to rewrite the record books in baseball history. But they're sky high about their chances in 2020, and that's cool to have an offseason where you actually can believe a little bit about the chances of your team. Solid, solid stuff. We're going to switch over to basketball next. Chris Herring, our buddy from ESPN and 538, is going to be here in studio. We're going to talk with him about the All-Star game and the Bulls and Jim Boylan. And maybe we won't talk to him about, you know what's really great? Didn't we just have a basketball conversation with KC where we didn't spend any time on the 2020 Bulls? Do you think it's possible that Chris Herring and I could have an NBA conversation and not really talk about the 2020 Bulls?
Yes, there's lots of interesting things going on in the NBA.
Should we try that? Let's try that. Let's try not talking about the 2020 Bulls for as long as we can. He joins me next here on The Score.